Hey, podcast listeners. Listen, thanks so much for checking out the podcast. These business podcast sessions are all about learning, sharing, and growing together. These people are business people, startups, and people of interest. So it might be sports people, it might be business people, whatever. I think we've all got a really fascinating story to share. And if we can learn from each other and give each other a bit of support and a bit of a platform, then that's what it's all about. And that's what these podcast sessions are for. So show these people some love, support them, and don't forget to rate, review. And I really hope you enjoy these podcasts. So keep tuned in, and I can't wait to catch up with you guys soon. Take care. Hey everyone, welcome to the Ben Parry podcast experience. With me today, I've got Andy Casey, local photographer, super talented guy, and we're just going to have a bit of a podcast session chatting about business stuff, where you started from. And I'm actually super interested to learn actually about, you know, how you got into the industry, what your history is, you know, all that stuff, how you started your business, why you started your business, wow, all that stuff. Because I think, you know what, for me, you know, I find it really interesting. Like, and hopefully it offers a lot of value for people who are thinking about starting their own business, or maybe the creative industry or digital industry, or whatever it is, or any business. I think it's just nice hearing people's stories.
And I'd
love to, you know, I've known you for a number of years actually, but not like intimately.
Yeah.
And
we've never been intimate.
definitely not that like that way. But, you know, I think I'm really fascinated to sort of learn and get to know more about
cool.
you.
Cool.
Because you're a super cool guy, so.
Cool.
Actually, before we dive into it, I do have a question from one of our viewers, Douglas Powell, who said, have you ever done any pictures?
Any pictures? Douglas Powell, I think I know who Douglas Powell is as
do
well.
Do you? Yeah, right.
I wonder what pictures mean.
I don't know, that's why I said he just smiled at me, you know? He just
in my office, where my lights, when I take photos with the lights, and I've got studio lights on, there's that noise that comes on, so maybe that's what he means.
Maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, people often ask me, have you ever photographed anyone naked? I'm like, no, because it's freezing, and I don't like to get cold.
So that's good, well, we'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there, yeah.
Say no more.
Why? You've got the same coffee. You got no sugar as well?
I've got sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not as super healthy as you, because you are rocking it at the moment with your Instagram page.
I'm only saying this because I've been super healthy for about 18 months.
Is it been 18 months?
Yeah, I stopped drinking cow's milk and I stopped taking sugar in my coffee.
Wow. And what difference have you found that's made?
A lot, really. I've stopped craving so much sugar and, yeah, my diet feels a lot better now. Well, it's changed quite a lot as well. So
I was going to say, for anyone, you know, who wants to check out, you do a lot of stuff on your Instagram feed about your sort of workouts and your, you know, you're doing like freaking headstands and like full on handstands and like, I think you did one on the Insto beach, was it?
Yeah, I tried to. Though. It was really windy, but I had just eaten an ice cream, so I'm going to put that down to that. That's the beauty of the diet idea as well. You can pretty much eat what you want, but obviously eat the right things. So, yeah.
Cool, awesome. So tell us about you, your business. When did it start? How did it start?
Wow, how far back do you want me to go?
Well, let's go right from the beginning. I mean, did you always want to be a photographer?
No, I wanted to be a clown.
Really?
Yeah, straight up.
I got a friend, well, a client who's a clown, actually.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, he works for Cirque du Soleil, so he may have been a clown a bit, but he's probably not anymore.
Yeah, so when I was younger, I always loved juggling, I loved unicycling. Classic example at school, go to the careers advisor, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to be a clown.
Awesome. And they're like, stumped.
What about another idea? I even looked into Windsor Circus School, which back then was like, you know, like the best place to go.
Wow.
And it was, to be fair, it was quite expensive. And I was kind of like, should I, you know, in the end, my dad used to be a weekend warrior. For anyone who doesn't know what a weekend warrior is, someone who takes photos on the weekend and basically puts us hardworking photographers out of work because they do it for half the price. But my dad used to do quite a lot of weddings for friends and stuff because he used to like photography. So I used to go along with him and help and sort of take a few shots.
Yeah.
Dad used to always give me grief because people used to always buy my candid shots. And even still today, people still say like the candid shots are the ones that everyone really likes because you're catching everyone more naturally at a wedding.
Sorry, what candid? Candid shots are the shots which are the natural ones, people aren't posing and...
Yeah. So Dad would do all the stage things and I would just go around and just, you know, catch people like, you know, granddad putting on like grandma's hat or something like that, you know. And
so basically, you're just showing up your own man.
Yeah, basically.
It's like everyone's going, these wicked pictures. I showcase, and everyone's like, yours aren't so good, basically.
Yeah, I showcase my silliness as well, to be fair. So Dad basically, Dad and I were always going to the camera club in Braunton, which was kind of quite a big grounding for me. So there was a lot of things like, you know, competitions. I won a competition when I was younger for, we photographed a dragonfly. We may have put it in the fridge to keep it cool, so it stayed on the apple. Shh.
Don't tell anybody. Don't worry. Nobody listens to this. It's fine.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. Cool. I did some shots at school, and I was kind of like quite into photography. Then I got to that point where I wanted to go to college, and I love music and I love photography.
So you've always been that creative type, fundamentally.
Yeah.
And this sort of fits perfectly.
Yeah, definitely. So I decided then that I was going to go and do photography. Now, I spoke to college and they were like, well, your GCSEs aren't really good enough to grade for the course. And I was like,
what's that got to do with photography?
I was like, what has like an A in history? I'm never going to get an A in history. You're going to get, like, what's got difference is that going to do? And I kind of got a bit hurt by it because I remember thinking, like, I've just won an award for like the best 16-year-old photographer, you know, when I was younger. I was like, how is this? I'm good at what I do. I'm like, not being biased. I knew back then, I was like, I know I'm good at this. Yeah. I know this is my passion.
Yeah.
And I went to North Devon College in the evenings on my last year of GCSEs and did a city and guilds. So I did those three parts of it, and I did that over the whole year of my last year of GCSEs just to prove to college I got this, which ironically then when I went to college, that's what my first year was, pretty much redoing what I'd just done in the city guilds in the evenings.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie, I found it a bit boring.
Yeah.
I remember they put something in on the table in one of the classes at college, and they were like, right. I remember the teachers or the lecturer saying, I want you to all draw this. I can't draw, really can't draw. Like, if you want me to draw stick men, I can draw them. And profanities on birthday cards for mates, I can do that, that's fine. But I can't draw. And I just was getting really annoyed because it was a bus journey from Braunton to Tiverton for an hour's lecture.
Was that the old East End College?
Yeah. And ironically, I've been back there and worked for Petroc doing some photos for their prospectus.
Yeah.
I remember one of the ladies saying to me, oh, would you like to tell the students what you did at college? And I was like, well, yeah, I did photography, but I quit because it sort of didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went into music for a bit. I went to North Devon College. I still always had that passion for taking photos, but I kind of lost my love for it a little bit.
Yeah.
Being in the kind of education sector.
That's interesting.
Because it was kind of like, kind of do it this way because this is the way you should do it. And I get it now. When they look at, if they were to put a cup on the table and say to me now, I want you to draw that cup how you see it.
Yeah.
And there were like five of us around the circle. You know, we're all going to draw that cup slightly differently because there's going to be different shadows, different light. But as a 16-year-old kid, you don't understand that. You don't. You know, I just never gelled with me.
I think the educational setup can really not work for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Really, you know, it just fundamentally can be broken, and actually, even to the extent of it's not even set up properly for the real world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I for one, I love my GCSEs. I love school, and then went to my A levels. I hated it, and I don't know if that was part of wrong course, wrong whatever, or the wrong institution. You know, it was just I just didn't like it. But then you know, I went on to uni and stuff like that, and I loved that.
Ironically, do you do now what you did at uni?
Not at all.
There's only a small handful of people I've ever met that actually do.
Not at all. I so believe that fundamentally, whatever you want to do, you can just go and do it.
Yeah.
And provided you don't need a degree to do your job,
maybe
like a
heart
lawyer,
surgery.
Doctor. Yeah, maybe.
Heart surgery could be a bit dangerous.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, I don't know, you know, mechanic, and maybe they could similar thing, cut it up.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, I think, you know, there's a lot of jobs out there that you can actually just go and learn and do, and you're better off served doing that, starting from the ground and working your way up, rather than maybe just going to university and just doing some random degree that's actually going to get you a job in Tesco's anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I know so many people that have gone on to such amazing jobs in roles like places like Tesco's, I've used that as an example, or maybe we should say Asda and Sainsbury's, or what is the anagram of Asda and Sainsbury's? I don't know, they're going to merge together.
Asbury's.
Asbos.
Asbos.
It's going to Asbos.
You like heard it first.
It's like Waitrose, but it's for, yeah, Asbos. But yeah, so like, I mean, everything that I have ever, I think everything that I've ever learned, I've learned life skills from it. So, you know, even like hitchhiking back from Tiverton, because my lecture is really between 9 and 10, it was kind of, for me, it's like, well, how can I get the rest of my day back? The only way is to get my thumb out on the road and hitchhike. And
yeah.
That, for me, the education, although I said this to my wife last night, I'd love to go to film school. I'd love to experience it. I'd love to go and know, like, loads of stuff that probably I would probably never use. But, and everyone I've ever known that's gone to film school doesn't really do what they learn at film school. So yeah, it's a lot of things like that.
But I think that's really common throughout education. I really do. Fundamentally, I just think it is. And it's just, I don't think education is always set up for the real world at all.
Yeah.
Like I said, unless you're going to be a surveyor or a doctor or a, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But even then, you know, you'd probably have law firms saying, actually, you'd be better off served starting on the bottom, and, you know, we'll teach you training.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you've got to go and do that qualification to get that tick in the box. But, you know, it's just so true. But then, so you went through that process.
Yeah.
Did you finish the course at college?
No, I left East Devon College.
Yeah.
And then I went to North Devon College, did performing arts.
Yeah.
I thought, right then, I'm going to go and do music. I sort of lost a bit of my passion for photography. I got a year into my course. Ironically, I had a friend who basically said, oh, your band should play at Tiverton College Ball. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. So we played at Tiverton College Ball. This guy comes up to me, he says, my son's in a band, they're really good, they're getting signed. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Gave him my number. Next thing I know, I'm playing in a band that's like, we were in London, we went to New York, LA, we won in the city in Liverpool. It was just mental couple of years.
So you joined this band
that
this guy said, my son's been signed, and they basically said, we like you, come and join us.
So I ended up playing with them for a couple of years, which was kind of a bit of a, I've always been a
What were they called? Are they still around?
Well, the band itself was the Tom Ewing's band, and Tom was the singer. And Tom was a singer-songwriter. And he'd already had a publishing deal with Carly Music, which is the company who signed Elvis, which is kind of the guy who owns Carly Music, Freddie Beanstock, he's the guy who signed Elvis. It's like,
that's pretty big. Cool.
So if you shake my hand, you can say you've shaken hands with a man who's shaken hands with a man who's shaken hands with Elvis.
Mate, let's do that.
Yeah, excellent. Ironically, I've done that with Prince and Kurt Cobain as well, so you can do that as well. So it's cool, isn't it?
That's, you know what, all the things that you find out, it's amazing.
So can you imagine, like, when you shake hands with someone who's shaken hands with, it could just go on, couldn't it? Yeah.
It's freaky.
Yeah.
Wasn't that sort of a whole thing about, you know, we're all somehow related one way or another?
Yeah.
It gets a bit freaky, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly. but yeah, so I went and did like the music thing for a while. And then when I came back from all of that, it kind of fell with a big bump. It was kind of like, we never actually got to the point of making the record deal. We had two new members in the band. It was an amazing time, but it was kind of a, you know, a time that would not change for love nor money.
No, of course.
And if it had carried on and we'd gone to that point of when we got signed to the record label, if they'd have kept us on for the end of the 6-month development period, I probably wouldn't have met my wife. I probably wouldn't be in North Devon.
You know what, sliding doors is so scary. All those choices in life you come across, you go, okay, this is, if you're, when you get to the point when you're quite self-aware of life and your decision-making process, I think it's quite, you really recognise those points in your life when you go, actually, this could take my life in one or two ways.
It could go,
if I choose this path,
it
could go a completely different way to if I choose this path.
Yeah.
And it's quite weird when you start recognising it, because I think when you first start out, you don't recognise that.
Yeah.
You don't see that in terms of your life choices.
Yeah.
Because when you do look back, you go, blooming hell, what if we did that? You would never,
It's funny because, I literally came back from that, and it was like, people talk about coming back from different scenarios and just like losing their way. And I came back, I was like, I love surfing, I was always in the water. And I was like, what am I going to do in my life? Because I'm like, I could have done this course in photography, which I loved, and I quit. And then I could have done this course in performing arts, which I got a year in. And because we got signed, I'm not going to lie, my head exploded. I was like, poof. Like, we just got signed to RCA Records. I was just like, awesome. What the hell do I need college for?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why do I... My goal in life is to get a record deal. I've got it, and I haven't completed the course. I mean, like, for my mind, it was like...
Who cares?
Who cares? but literally, it came out of a bump, and I ended up, like, you know, chatting to a friend of mine, and my friend Lucy, she was, like, well into her swimming, and she was going to do a lifeguard course, and I was like, I might do my lifeguard exam as well. And I did my lifeguard exam, and went and worked on the beach for the summer, and kind of, you know, it was one of those, like, weird times where I just did not know what was... I don't know what part.
You're a little bit drifting through life a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your life was on sort of like a pause, like, where am I going?
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. And then I ended up working a couple of jobs over the where I met my wonderful wife.
Yeah.
I met her in the surf shop in Atlantic Village.
Hey.
And worked in there.
Yeah.
I remember it really distinctly because it was the same week that the Twin Towers fell down. I say fell, it wasn't fell, it was aggressively pushed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was one of those times where it was like, everything started going on. Hang on a minute, when we were in New York with the band, like, we walked past the Twin Towers, like, and I remember being in all these different places and, you know, stuff like that happening.
Yeah.
And yeah, I bimbled from job to job into like car sales. I was a business manager. I even started to do my financial advisor exams, and I just was like, this is not me. It's like, yeah.
Why the hell would you want to do that?
I'm not joking. A boulder came this, like, this big in my post. And it was like, I was like, I don't know, I was going from financial advisor to do like mortgage broking and everything. I mean, I'm assuming there's...
Mate, you made a smart move.
There's a tablet you can take to in like ingest all of that. Sure. We were probably in the same room doing our exams at the same time and you passed. Honestly, I even went to the examination.
Man, just think, if I hadn't passed, I could be with you.
This could be the Andy Casey podcast interviewing Ben Parry, the photographer. Weird.
Hey, sliding doors. So just, I'm intrigued to know about, you know, that moment when you look back now and you think, okay, we didn't make it as a band, as you know, maybe this was your big opportunity to go boom and explode. Yeah. Do you ever look back and go, oh, I would have done things differently? Or do you ever look back and go, what could we have done differently?
What could we have done differently? Yeah. Never, like, I've never would, like, look, I think everything I kind of have done in everything, really, I've kind of, you know, I saw your post the other day about don't think about yesterday, think about tomorrow. You can't change yesterday.
Yeah,
I wrote a song once called Yesterday's News.
Yeah.
The lyrics are, yesterday's news, cannot change it, cannot rearrange it, because I've been taught that forward is only the only way to go.
100%.
And I read your post the other day and I went, I've heard that somewhere. And I was like, what lyric is it? And I found it.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, hang on a minute, there's stuff like that that just makes me realise that kind of always known that, and I wrote that song 15 years ago.
You know what, absolutely, and I don't think it's about having regrets, because I think all those moments and those experiences, be it all bad or failures or successes, end up being helping you being who you are.
Yeah.
But do you ever think about, in the sense of, I could have done it differently, or if we'd done this, it may have had a different result?
I mean, one thing for me, I always kind of wish I'd had a bit more involvement in the writing process, because it was very much Tom's project.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, I loved that, and at the time, there was part of it, I always felt a little bit segmented from the writing project.
Was it all about him, fundamentally?
Yeah, fundamentally. But, you know, ultimately, it was like, you know, you're in David Gray's band, David Gray's going to write the songs, it's David Gray, he's
for
the guy.
For sure.
But we were all signed as a band, and... And it was good, you know. We met some amazing people, like, along the way. Like, I mean, like, some of the people that we worked with, like the producers and stuff, were just incredible, you know.
Do you ever look back and think, I could have worked harder, or maybe produced more content, or?
Yeah, I suppose some of it. I mean, I remember being at home in Braunton when I lived with my folks, and the police don't watch this podcast, right?
No.
They can't watch a podcast.
No, like five people watch this.
So
or listen to it.
Remember the dual carriageway to Braunton when you used to be able to actually get up to 70 miles an hour?
Yeah.
And you're driving along.
You can't.
You're not supposed to.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
That's actually where I just got hit. I've just been on a speed awareness course. Uh-huh. That's a whole different story.
That's for another day.
Yeah. I was driving from Braunton to Barnstable and my phone rings. And it's Tom, and I'm like, hey buddy, you right? And he went, yeah, what are you doing this afternoon? And I was like, I was just going into town. I think I was going to Le Sport. Do you remember Le Sport?
Yeah.
I remember distinctly, I was going to get something. I was like, I think it was like wax or something, I forget from a board. And I was like, I was going to Barnstable and then I'm going back for a surf. And he went, you're not free this afternoon, are you? And I was like, no. Well, I could be. Why, what are you thinking? And he went, I'm in London. I was wondering if you could put some, like, come up and, like, maybe being a bit more involved in the songwriting part. And I was like, cool. This was like 10 o'clock in the morning by like 2:30. I'm sat beside him in London. I was like 19. I didn't have any plans. I worked for Chicago Rock when it first opened back then.
But that's awesome. The fact that you could have so easily gone, oh, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too hard. It's too far away.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've got better things to do. I'm going to go surfing.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
fact that you actually went and did that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that says a lot, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things, isn't it? I think for a lot of people that they've had, I've had a lot of opportunities in life. And I think that's why I think, particularly now with the business, with our, the way we run our business, I think everything is an opportunity. And I think, you know, I look at, you know, the options that I could have taken, you know, and they're very different to what they are now. So, you know.
Do you think it's all about saying yes to things rather than being negative or saying no?
Do you know what? This is really funny, actually. I love this. I went on a sales course somewhere, and I remember I was trying to get a job interview. I tried to get into car sales, and I'd seen this, like, I want to say online, but it probably wasn't back then. But someone had said to me anyway, it's like, if in doubt when you're in an interview, and they said, what's one of your weaknesses? I just say, one of my weaknesses, I'm really bad at saying no. Because, like, and I'm not joking, you know, I used to say it at my interviews, because I, like, I'm not because I'm a yes man, but because, like, if someone says to me, you can do that, I don't like to say no. Like,
definitely.
I even now, I probably put myself out of pocket because I go, yeah, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
And then go, well, that was a bit out of my remit. Like,
and I think it's also about, not just in business, but about in life, being able to say yes to things. Like, you know, your mate calls you up and you go, God, do you want to fancy coming along to this?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so easy to go, oh, I can't be bothered, or no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and all honesty, you know, and I love my friends, but so many of them are like, oh, I'm a bit busy, I can't do this. And I'm like, fuck it, like, come on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get some life in people. And, like, you know,
you
just say yes. Things can happen,
yeah.
You know, from, you know, not just business, but just, you know, you just have so much more experiences, better time, opportunities, and things happen.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not, like you said, when it's in business, I don't think it's going
to
be a yes.
Classic example, like you said to me, do you want to do a podcast? I was like, oh, I'm bothered.
I know,
why? Like,
what's the point?
Yeah, like the adult in me goes, no, this could be really quite good exposure. Actually, I haven't seen Ben for a while. Be good to have an afternoon off. And, like, you know, we flitted from my office to your office to here. So, like, yeah, you've got a clock on the wall. I like that. I just actually thought, being a photographer, I'm like, I hope that's stuck stationary.
Well, you know what?
If there's any cuts in your video, people will know.
The funny thing about this clock is the battery's died a long time ago and we've all forgotten to change the battery.
No way.
So it's constantly at about 11 o'clock.
So it should be on a smiley face then, to be correct, shouldn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. How do we get onto the clock?
Sorry, podcast listeners, you can't see the clock, so you have to check out the YouTube.
Do you know
video.
What? The photographer, that's a good little because obviously you've got Will filming this today. The photographer and videographer in me has just gone, does Will's camera stop at 30 minutes? Because all of mine do. Because if he doesn't know that, that could be an awkward moment.
Well, we have had moments where the battery runs out. So our early content, you know, well, if you look at my early stuff, a lot of it's just on like a handheld phone and all the rest of it. But even then, you know, start using cameras and the camera cuts out and stuff like that. So it's all a lesson, isn't it? And
definitely.
Just diving in and just giving it a go and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So when did you... So what happened then? So you start...
How
did you start your business?
Basically what happened is I met my wife back then.
Yeah.
I'd gone into various different car sales jobs.
Yeah.
And I
remember, so you were drifting along. This is the time when you're drifting, just like
definitely a drifter.
Really finding your way.
2006, know it literally to the day, in my brain. And I'm on, I wanna say MySpace, and my buddy Dean, she probably knows brother James Chappell, who does the, I don't know what that means, that's not radio, is it? Does the radio.
Okay.
So on Hops and Chappell.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
So my buddy Dean basically was messaging him, and I was like, what are you up to? And he's like, he was selling like super mops and stuff. And he said, I can remember this feeling to the day. And he said, I'm working up with this company in London now, basically like just following celebs and stuff. And
like taking photos, and I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. You were selling supermops a minute ago. I had a passion for photography.
Yeah.
And I remember it was almost like, I was not hurt by it, but I was a bit like, well, you're not even a photographer. How are you doing this? So I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. And it was that moment where I was sat in
this. Look, I should be doing this.
Yeah, I was in Vauxhall in Vauxhall, and I remember sat in the showroom going, I'm on the internet, I don't care about this job. I have no love for this job whatsoever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it wasn't the fact that I didn't love the people I worked around with. I worked lots of nice people, and I met loads of amazing customers that are now my customers now.
Oh, that's interesting.
I photographed weddings, all sorts. And I remember sitting there, and he was like, yeah, yeah, I'll just upload to this website. This is how it works. You could do it. And I thought, cool. And here we go. So I run with that, and I was like, Dad, what camera gear have you got? And he was like, he said he had this Canon, which was one of the really early digital cameras. So 2006, obviously thinking stuff's changed a lot. I think it was 3 megapixels. And I was like, can I borrow it? He was like, yeah, what for? I was like, because I'd sold all my gear. I kind of got to that point where I was like.
So you weren't even involved in photography. You weren't even on a casual social basis.
No, I had about 4 or 5 years of just not having a camera. Wow. Like, I had a video camera, and we got a little camera for when we were going on our honeymoon and stuff. And I was like, right, that's it. So I borrowed this camera off Dad, and Jermaine Jackson was coming to Barnstable. And I was like, right, I know he's coming to Barnstable. I don't even know how I found out. Let's just say, let's not ask about how I found out. I found out how he was, where he was going.
You want to know how now.
Exactly, exactly. So I knew he was going to be there. I was like, okay. So he was at the Fulham in Barnstable.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, okay, cool. At this point, I'm thinking to myself,
For those who don't know the Fulham Barnstable is an amazing Chinese restaurant. It is.
But not if you're looking at your diet, man. I love that place. The duck wraps.
I know.
We should have had the podcast in there. It would have just sounded like.
Hey, Fulham restaurant, if you ever want to have a podcast session and provide us with free food, happily do it.
Yeah.
But the best meal I've ever had from there was literally, and I know we're totally off topic there, so I do apologise, but my wife and I, Tab and I, went there, and literally we just said, just bring us anything.
Yeah.
Literally they said, what do you want? I said, I've got no idea, just bring anything. And they brought out some weird and random stuff I would never pick, it was like a duck wrap, but in a lettuce leaf. And it was the most amazing food I've ever tasted.
Literally, I'm like,
I was off a tangent there.
I ended up going there, and Jermaine Jackson, I saw him come up, and he literally pulled up, got out of the car with his girlfriend, and he had a couple of security guys with him and stuff. Went across the road, went in, and I was like, got some shots of him, never sold them, but I was like, cool, right, I've done it. And then I kind of got a bit hungry for it, because I was like, I kind of like this. So I ended up buying a camera, getting a few different shots and stuff of various different people. I ended up going to the Eden Project and doing loads of different music celebs and stuff with my kind of basic kit that I kind of had bought. And I suppose I probably spent about 6 months just kind of jumping on the bandwagon of anything I saw, and mainly stuck it with the celeb stuff, because my mind was, if I'm going to get good at this,
I'd be a pants type.
I kind of need to get some money in quick.
Yeah.
And I kind of, in my mind, got to a point where I was like, I don't know if I can ever make this my living in North Devon.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Well, we're the celebrities of North Devon.
Exactly. Although I have photographed a lot. But I kind of got to that point where I was like, right, building it. And then I was just like, right, I'm going to do a few weddings. And so I did a couple of weddings, bunged a couple for almost nothing. But I remember someone saying, never do your first job for free. Always do it for a price, because, you know, for example, if you say, I charge £1,000, and you say to someone, I would normally charge £1,000, but I'm going to let you have £500, there's a value to the customer, and you've also got something out of it. So I think I did my first wedding for £350, and I was just thinking to myself, wow, I got £350 for a day's work. I remember thinking, that's amazing. And then I took about 7 or 8 days to edit the wedding.
Yeah.
And I broke it down and was like, whoa, that's less than minimum wage. I was like, wow, that's totally, little things. I didn't really know, because I'd gone from digital, I was like, I've got to burn a disc for someone. And
sure.
I was like, when you burn a disc, it's taking twice the amount of time and all these kind of things. So I kind of went from there. And then I decided then in 2007 to actually register as self-employed. Not that I was doing it with cash in hand, but you see where I was going with that.
Yeah.
So I was officially self-employed.
So you made that official step, right, this is, I'm committed to this, I'm going to make it happen.
And then from then onwards, I literally was like, every, like you get 4 weeks a year holiday, every Saturday that I could book a wedding, I was booking it as a day's holiday. So my poor wife didn't, and I didn't really have a massive like, amount of holidays.
So you had a normal job?
Yeah, so I was still working in that same job.
With you. So you're basically like having your employed job, so you got that security of that's going to pay the bills and a little bit extra. And I'm going to hack
this. So I became the weekend warrior.
Amazing.
Which, you know, I joke, and but honestly, it is the best way to dip your toe in the water. You know, you can't, there aren't many careers that you could go like, oh yeah, I'm Saturday's going to be a financial advisor.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got so much legislation and stuff to do.
Yeah.
No, so it was kind of quite cool.
It's interesting you say that. I think you're right in many respects in terms of, you know, you can't always hack a normal job with a self-employed job. I think there's a lot of jobs you can, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
especially with like internet shopping now.
Especially with that sort of stuff. You know, you can sell, you know, get a Shopify account and sell stuff online. Yeah. You can, I don't know, sell stuff on eBay as a side hustle with your normal main job. You know, you can do stuff that you could never have done a few years ago, you know, when we were younger.
Yeah.
You know, because the internet wasn't what it is now.
Yeah, definitely.
But even though, I think financial services is an interesting one because I think, actually, if the structure is there, and this is critical, if the structure is there, people could do that. So they could, I think it would be difficult, but I think if the structure is there to support them, to, you know, enable them to network and build relationships, then it can be done.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, that's something that we're looking to develop, where we've got people who want flexible working and stuff like that. So, but in all honesty, probably for most firms, 99% of them, it just won't work because it's quite involved.
Yeah.
And technical and things like that. And you need to be in it to really make it a success. Yeah. I think that's the same with any business, actually. I think the point is you can hack it for a bit, but you're never going to be amazing at it until you go all in. And I think as soon as you go all in, that's when things happen.
Well, it was a funny transition for me as well, because my wife and I literally got to that point where we're like, shall we do it? And it was like, well, what's the, we've got no kids, we had no ties, we didn't even have a dog, so, you know. So we were like, we've got no ties. What if we got to live? Worst case scenario, we lose our house. Like, I know it sounds silly, but like, there's people a lot worse off than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, I'm going to go for it. So I went to NatWest and got like a loan for like 10 grand and just went in and bought loads of equipment and like set up a premises in Barnstable. So that was in 2010. And then I went down the whole Bubs and Babies route, which was a massive learning curve for me because, I met lots of nice people. I met Prince William decided to go to Clayton's when I was at my office. I got a photo of Prince William in Clayton's. And like, I was like, how much closer? My office was across the road.
Yeah.
How much closer could this guy get for me?
For sure.
You know? And I was like, all these different like scenarios. I was like, it's brilliant. And then I just got to a point where I was like, do you know what? I remember driving back from a job once from Plymouth, and I used to get it all the time. Oh, we came past, but you were shut. I'm like, well, I was trying to run the studio as a studio.
Yeah.
It was almost my hub, not like a public shop.
For sure.
But because it was so close to the public, people would come in. I mean, I'd get people coming in like 2-3 times a day. All right, mate, do you do passports? I'm like, no, I don't. And then they go, which is lovely, and I get that. But like, when you're like trying to edit a wedding or something, or you're editing some commercial work, and then you're like, oh, my dad's got a camera? And you're like, oh, no. And you know that there's these like sweet people that come in, and they don't mean any harm at all, but you're like, really? Like, this was beginning to get to a point where this isn't really fitting into my kind of...
Your business model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were there for like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, nearly 3 years. Then we just decided that, ironically, I'd done some photos with your wife Tab at that point as well. I remember her balancing a pencil under her nose for some photos that she was doing with the company and spinning a globe on her hand or something random. But it was things like that, if I'm honest, that doing commercial work for me was kind of like, you know, I'm getting my teeth into it, I was being creative.
Yeah.
The Bumps and Babies thing for me was almost, and I don't mean this to sound patronizing to anyone who does it, it was almost becoming too easy. because you put the people there, my settings were the same every time because we're in the same room in the same light and I've got everything set.
Yeah.
I just have to press the button and get the right action.
Well, it's efficiency,
people.
Isn't it? It's efficiency. It's having that model that works
and
really
for me,
easily.
If you put me in a routine, that's not the best thing to do.
It's probably not the best for someone who's creative and they want to be inspired and constantly challenged.
Yeah.
And there's probably people who don't fit that model. And there's probably people who fit that model of, you know, that production line, efficient, click, fine. But probably for you, you want to be probably inspired and challenged and think creatively and how
definitely.
Can I make this wacky or wicked or cool or whatever it is.
I was creating a logo, some animated logo for a client the other day, and my wife Kate said to me, she said, you're really enjoying this logo, aren't you? And I went, I said, no, it's weird. It's the weirdest thing I've ever said, which I just stuck into my brain. I went, this is the closest I've come to becoming that financial advisor and creative, because the numbers that were going on in my head, move that, times that by that, do that, and that. And I was like, oh, hang on a minute, that needs to move along by. I was just like, but I was loving it. It was just that whole process. And then pressing play, and the logo that we're trying to create was basically where the logo all clogs together, and then basically the logo splits at the end or fades out, and then the video for the client is actually comes out of the actual logo. And I remember thinking to myself, what? How did I create that? And it's just been so rewarding.
Brilliant.
So rewarding.
Brilliant.
So yeah, that's kind of like, we left that studio and then we found this. Ironically, I then followed Tab as well, because her company that she was working with at the time was in Queen's House as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went to Queen's
House. And that was a much better environment, wasn't it?
It's
not accessible to the public. People can just, they could walk in, but not like it was probably for you.
Well, it's definitely, it is like that. You know, we've got like receptionists there, so we kind of, no one can kind of just walk in the studio now. And there's other businesses in there, so it's kind of nice. You kind of get to interact with people. Yeah. We all get to whinge about the bins.
Yeah.
It's great.
Everyone loves a good whinge.
Yeah.
And what would you say is the sort of, one of the biggest lessons that you've learned in terms of you starting your business and developing it and growing it?
Probably one of the biggest lessons is I don't think you can plan enough. I don't think like anything like as much, but I remember my business plan. Like if I look at my business plan, have you ever looked, did you do your first business plan?
You know what, I've got possibly a different, like a little unique perspective on business plans, but maybe I'll share that.
Yeah. Well, my first business plan, I look at it in a positive way, but I look at it and I'm like, wow, this is not where I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
And almost I kind of would like to write a new business plan to go, where do I see myself? What stage am I at now? Kind of where did I see what, you know, because my first business plan was like, I was thinking like I wanted to open like a studio, like, what were they called, Venture? And I was thinking, I wonder if I could get my business to a level where I could create the Venture scenario. So you go in, you'd have a nice couch like this, your family would come in, you'd go in through this door, you'd get your cup of tea and your coffee, and you'd go out there, do the photo shoot, and you'd come out, and then we'd have a sales team, and we'd, because I was thinking my selling background, we'd have a sales team, and they'd sell you the prints, and then Venture went bust.
You were thinking like a car salesman, weren't you?
Yeah, and then Venture went bust, and I was like, I don't think that works. I really don't think that works. And it was, for me, it was almost that whole kind of, when I look at what my business plan was, and where I thought that's where I would. And I think my biggest thing for me now is do what you love doing. Don't, like, you know, the guys I play in the band with at the moment, we've always kind of said, we always kind of play the covers that we want to play.
Yeah.
That's not maybe too differently so no one knows them. But,
yeah.
You know, if you kind of go in there and do every song that everyone wants to hear and you hate the songs, you're never going to enjoy it.
Wasting time. You've got to do something you're passionate about and love.
Yeah.
I think business plans is an interesting one, because I think business plans are really important and serve a purpose, but I think you can overanalyze and overthink them, because the reality is, I think you just touched on actually, is you can start your business plan, your journey in business, but you'll soon find that you'll go off in different directions.
Probably a bit like this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's really interesting is, and I've thought about the format of these sort of things, and I don't script it, I don't have any sort of pre-meditated questions at all, apart from Doug Powell's, who's right at the beginning. But literally...
I'd forgotten about that question. What question was that?
The reality is, you know, I think it's important to have a clear big picture plan of what you want to do personally and achieve.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's really important. And whatever that is, it doesn't have to be huge and
yeah.
you know, world changing, but equally it can be. But I think how you get to that point will change, will mm-hmm. evolve as you go along. And I think it's yeah. about being adaptable and not being too rigid.
Yeah.
I think a business plan when you start out can help with focusing on things that need to be done.
Yeah,
I think that's really important. Or even things about, you know, working out who your target audience is. Like, you know, who am I actually trying to appeal to? Who's my ideal customer? Who's my persona? And I think a lot of people who start up a business don't do that part of the planning.
Yeah.
But that's so critical, I think, in terms of you know, developing your proposition, your pricing, your marketing material, your website, everything, and your name, it all stems from actually who your target audience is. So I think that side of planning is really important in terms of the starting. I think the future and where it's going, I think it's always, like you said, actually worth reviewing it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, your plans change or you get pulled in a certain direction, you think that's the way to go, and then you go, hang on a second, let's just refocus. Yeah. And you can really sort of sometimes get stuck in a fog, you know, when you're busy, sometimes you need that time out to reassess, reevaluate, go, breathe, where are we going? Is this the right call? Is this the right strategy? And I think it's interesting.
I mean, we similar for us in a way, because like we first, it's a podcast, I can't swear, flicking muck at the walls, but like honestly I was like the yes man, can do this, yes, do you want to come to our wedding fair, yes. And then I was going to wedding fairs, and we're really blunt now in North Devon, I was going to wedding fairs and meeting the couples that they're not really my customer. And I don't mean that in a horrible way.
No, I get it.
But I was having people that, like, for instance, were trying to book my 4-hour coverage, which we don't do anymore, but they wanted to fit my 12-hour, 14-hour wedding day coverage in that 4-hour time. And they were giving me, like, you know, I want this fair, I want this fair, I want this fair, I want to do this one. I was like, I was finding myself coming home from a 4-hour wedding, like, shattered with the same amount of photos. And I was thinking to myself, why am I doing this? And I've had to reevaluate what we offer, because I'm almost giving away too much for the.
I think, you know what, if I'm honest, I think it's perfectly healthy and good to throw SH1T at the wall and try everything, because you just don't know what's going to work until you start doing it and you start learning. And I think that's just the reality of things. But I think the key is not to undersell yourself. I mean, you talked about price earlier, and I think it's so critical for any business out there not to sell themselves short, you know what, it might be just a photograph where you just press a button, but you know what, that's taken years and years of time, of practice, of skill and expertise, and that's what people will buy.
My biggest, in fact, actually Kate is probably watching this now on the Instagram, she's probably going to be like, okay, mind you saying that, she might be watching it, she'll probably watch it at some point, and she'll probably go, he hasn't left yet to do the school run. Sorry, I've got an hour, it's fine. I lost my train of thought then. So last night I remember washing up, just getting in my man moments there, I was washing up, and Kate said to me, she said, you're just so hypercritical of everything you do. Because I wasn't really happy with that shoot. She's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm not happy with it. And it's not because it's not good enough.
No, I get that.
It's because in my mind there was something missing.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, she then tells me, like, look at this photo, and I'm like, but, like, I was thinking of, like, you know, but the client's happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think to yourself, oh, okay, cool. But then I think that's part of being creative, you
100%.
Know?
100%. Maybe. Also, I think it's part of being motivated and ambitious.
Yeah.
I think when somebody has that energy and that drive to be the best at whatever they can be, whether it's creative, whether it's whatever it is, it's like you're never going to be happy, because know, actually, you know, you might be there, but you want to be there, you know.
I said this to someone recently. They said, oh, yeah, what people always say to me, oh, how many megapixels you got on your camera? They don't all come from that accent, but... And I said,
Burley Tenty.
But in North Devon, oh, how many megapixels you got on your camera? I've been in press pits at, like, gigs and stuff. And someone goes, oh, how many lenses have you got? And I've gone, two. And they're like, oh, right, well, I've got this, 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 and this. And I remember thinking to myself, right.
And your point is what?
What is your point? But the fact of the matter is, someone said to me recently, oh, yeah, but phones are so good these days, aren't they? You can take a photo on the phone. Yes, you can. And yes, we're going to get to a point where probably your phone is probably going to do a lot of stuff my camera is going to do. But
I think the reality is, you know, so many people are uneducated in terms of everyone else's thing that they do.
But I remember saying to someone the other day,
you and they're warriors, like you said. They're like, I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
Or I'm a this, or I know how to do that, or I can make my own website, or I can make my own logo.
Yeah,
you know what? Yeah, you can, but you know what? It's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, crack on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's going back to, does somebody value your service? Do they value your proposition? Do they value your skill set?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people who won't ever get it.
Yeah.
And
that's
fine. But they're not our clients. They're not our, they're not the class of people should be aiming for.
The thing for me as well is, over the years, we've had to move. Well, not had to move. We've moved from just doing stills to doing stills and video. Now, obviously, we're filming this right now. I'm doing a video blog today. The video has become massive. But what's ironic, it's not even video, is it? Because video is videotape. It's like, it's moving image, I get it. But like, you know, we still call these things like video cassette player and, you know.
It's interesting.
It's the whole industry for us has changed the point that we've had to kind of learn a few new talent, new skills, and which I love because it's been great. But, you know, I mean, I got asked to do, I've done, one of my clients is based in London, they're like, they're basically a YouTube channel, and they do like the random stories. So I did one with a girl who, down in Plymouth, I filmed this little mini documentary where she's basically, she spends like 20 grand a year on her 18-month-old daughter doing beauty pageants, had her ears pierced. It's all like a bit crazy, but I've got, there's 750,000 hits on YouTube on that video. And I think to myself, like, wow, that's not just my, that's the story, that's everything, that's the team that goes behind it. But, like, you know, it's like, it's amazing how, like, from sleepy little North Devon, there's like this story that I've created. Because from the start, it was me that went out on the day.
Yeah.
And I find stuff like that really amazing how, you know, I say sleepy North Devon, but there's so much out there.
100%. 100%.
And people always say to me, oh, do you not get really annoyed with all the photographers being out there? I'm like, no, because like, there, more competition is healthy.
And you know what? There's plenty for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing. It's like people think, well, they're worried about the competition or they're worried about this. And you know what? Just focus on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And just go out and be the best you possibly can be.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, either you've got talent or you're not. And if you have, you'll come through, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they say? The Sunday rises.
Do you know what? That's what they say to my mum always. Says, I never actually remember what it is.
But it's so true. And I think, you know, there's always going to be, you know, a competitor, somebody else coming along the door, you know, along, you know. And I think it's just, you know what, just focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And just keep moving forward. I think that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing, like, a big thing for us is that we really, like, kind of pride ourselves on the fact that we kind of like to get under, like, if I did some headshots for you guys, for example, and I did some photos for you, I'd kind of want to know about you guys. I'd want to get under your skin. Like, I'd want to, in my mind, I'd want to be kind of, I'd be looking at your website, looking at your Instagram feed. So when I'm editing your photos, I kind of want to bring you out in the photos.
Mm.
So it's not just, to me, it's not just taking the photo. It's when I'm there, I'm kind of like, because if I take a photo of you, you know, sat on a park bench, for instance, that's not you. But like, if I took a photo of you somewhere else, you know, it could just tell a whole different story. And I think for me, within my industry, I meet so many different people that I have to kind of constantly look at different solutions for people. And I think for us, it's like, you know, one day I'll be doing product photography in the studio. The next minute, I'm like, I'm on a podcast with Ben Parry, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
I think it's about having, you know, being adaptable, having, you know, multiple skill sets.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between, and I think this pretty goes across every industry,
yeah.
You know, anybody can press a button on a camera, on a computer, sourcing a mortgage, on, I don't know, selling a t-shirt. But what stands you out? What makes you different?
Do you know what? Literally, I can answer that. Anyone can press the button.
Exactly.
But I've got to get under your skin. I've got to understand what your project is and what your result isn't what you want.
Exactly, and I think that's the critical thing. It's understanding your client,
yeah.
understanding your customer, getting underneath their skin,
yeah.
really offering them added value about you know
yeah, yeah.
whatever that is.
Yeah.
That's the key, and I think that's a running theme that any business can actually learn from.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't just do what you do. You know, you might sell donuts. Okay, well, how better could you sell donuts?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or pasties,
yeah, yeah.
or sandwiches. What else could you do?
You mentioned all the food I can't eat anymore.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, totally.
If you want to go and open up another sandwich shop, okay, fine. Well, you're just going to do exactly the same like every other sandwich shop. How are you going to differentiate yourself?
Yeah.
You know, who's your target audience? Is it business people? Okay. Or if it's business people in the lunch hour, what are you going to go and do? How are you going to deliver them? Yeah. It's like, yeah. just think differently.
We're going to walk out of a sandwich shop with this bag.
But it's just about thinking differently, how you can add value to your audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
You know, you're adding value by getting to know them and really tailoring that image or that video to them, isn't it?
Well, it's like I photographed quite a few bands and stuff like that, and I really liked it. It sounds silly, but I've just done some photos with Scattertones. I will 100%, when I'm doing the editing, I'll 100% be listening to the Scattertones.
Yeah.
Like, because to me, it's like, I remember I photographed the Breaks years ago, and I remember like just like properly getting really into their music and editing their stuff, and I remember just thinking like, yeah, this kind of feels like it would be on the front cover of their album, because that's what I want. That's what I want you. That's what I want Ben Parry to look at their album and go, yeah, that's. Yeah. I want to listen to that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure. And that's where you're different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's your USP. You know, that'll make you successful fundamentally because you care.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's about. Actually, it's about care.
Sometimes I think I shouldn't say this, but sometimes I just feel like I almost care too much. You know,
never care.
Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like you sometimes go, oh, did they like this? I hope they did. And you get your feedback and you go, oh, they did. Oh, that's good.
No, you know what? You can never care too much, but you've got to have a strong enough core not to let any criticism affect you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
And having that sort of force field shield.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, I was listening to your podcast with Paul Spencer. He's probably sat in his van watching this right now.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Quite clearly, he's sat in his van. Hello, hey, bye. He'll know if I'm not on the school run. He'll probably hopefully pick up my daughter for me. He was talking about like you know you're changing like your life when basically you know obviously working for yourself and being a dad. And for me,
yes.
If honestly, my relationship with my daughter, I take her to school 2 days a week and I pick her up 3 days a week. That doesn't mean she only goes 2.5 days, but so like for me, it's just being able to do that, and being able to do those extra things as being self-employed. I mean, that is probably the biggest goal. I think biggest reward I've ever got out of it.
It's like you are your own boss. You can you can play play the rules by your rules, basically play the game by your rules.
Well, yeah, said this other night actually. I said, when was the last time we watched TV without a laptop? So, okay, it was like, I don't know. But it's true, like, but I'd much rather, and this is like not even, this, you know, not it's just a personal thing, I'd much rather have tea with my daughter, put her to bed, shout at her, scream at her, like, you know, all parents do when the kids are doing silly things. But, like, after she's gone to bed and stuff, then, like, you know, catch up a little bit so I can do the school run and stuff like that.
Absolutely, you know, and I think that's a real common misconception for people who've never run their own business, is they just think, oh, you can do what you want to do when you want to do it, and actually, you can, but actually, you probably work harder than you've ever worked, and you'll work until midnight if you have to, or later, to catch up and hack your day.
Although, I have found, since going to the gym, when you work till midnight, and the alarm goes off at 4:45, which is my alarm time in the mornings, that hurts.
For sure. Well, listen, I want to learn more about your training as well. So tell us just briefly about that in terms of you've suddenly got committed to really hitting it hard, haven't you?
Yeah.
So how's that all been going?
Really good. I've been training with the guys at Reform in Brownswell. I used to train with Mark Kent in Barnsville, and then I went to CrossFit for a little bit. And I kind of like, I loved everything I did, but it was something, I wasn't quite getting the results I wanted. I'd done a photo shoot with Steve at Reform and his other half Sarah, gluten free blogger. They're a couple of mythological monkeys, I tell you. lovely couple. And I just basically said I really worked on my diet for like about sort of, I don't know, probably, must have been September, so about 9 months. Well, I've really been...
Mate, you're looking good. You're looking, you know, a bit ripped there. You know?
No, I've lost.
You're working the guns.
2016, in December, we had all the family around at Kate's mum's house, and we all got on the scales, and I'm 16 stone 2, I'm 12'4 now. So, like, 18 months, I'm like... Yeah, so it's quite a lot, isn't it?
It's
actually, I've just heard that in my head.
It's a lot. It's a huge amount.
But I'm at the point now where I'm not wanting to lose any more weight. I'm quite happy with where I am.
Yeah.
I just want to sustain it now.
Yeah.
And my mum actually said to me the other day, she's, oh, problem is my muscle turns to fat. I'm like, yeah, but fat also turns fatter. So if I've got the muscle to start with.
So that's like saying there's no point training because you just end up fat anyway.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's going really, really well. And,
yeah.
For me, it's again, I did that for my daughter. My thing with my little girl, she's had so many operations, and like as she's got older, I've realised that like where she goes to school, we have to walk up a really big hill every day, and I'm like, whew, this is hard work, and I just want to be able to run around with her
definitely.
When I'm older.
You want to be fit and healthy for your kids and like you know, all that stuff. It's really important. I think it's really important for your brain and your mental capacity and when you're working hard, you need to be on it and be alert. And I think
honestly, sport
helps massively.
My day's so much more. Like, you know, I process my day more because I've been to the gym in the morning.
More energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know I'm eating the right foods.
Yeah, all helps massively.
Mars bars do not do you any favours. Although they've now brought out a protein Mars bar. It's quite a bit of a weird feeling.
It does sound
a Mars bar that's a protein
bar. Well, you sort of sense that they're just all getting onto that bandwagon a bit, but...
Yeah, but they're like £2.50 for a Mars bar, even.
Yeah, no. Our principle.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, mate. Thank you ever so much for coming on to
the
Ben Parry Podcast Experience. It's been a massive pleasure, massive privilege to have you on.
Yeah.
Fascinating to hear about your story, actually, because it's not...
I hope someone listens to this one.
Well, I'll be listening to it.
Okay.
And in all honesty, it's been brilliant, so thank you so much.
My pleasure,
and, it's been a real pleasure, mate.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, podcast peeps. Listen, thank you so much for listening to the Ben Parry Podcast Experience. It means the world to me for you guys to listen, and I hope you got some real value out of it. If you can rate and review this podcast, it will mean the world to me as well. And listen, I really hope that you can keep tuned in and listen out for much more to come. So yeah, big love and catch up soon, guys.